Miss Worthit Speaks here with you live today. This is our first show, and we are excited to come to you live to speak on those things that are important to us and hopefully important to you. Social people empowering a kindred society is this show's mainstream. Miss Worthit Speaks. And joining us today is our co-host, Ms. Chelsea Carr. Welcome, Ms. Chelsea Carr.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for having me.
We are so excited. This show is, just to give you a little bit of our background, this show is to bring about interesting topics and allow us to be free to speak on whatever it is and basically, hopefully, bring about the truth. It was STEM from our organization, Justice from A to Z. And hello, family out there, if you're listening, we are trying to do just what the organization is doing, but in a manner of bringing conversations together and speaking about them, bringing it to the table. And so we hope that you will join us in our dialect. If you would like, you can call in at 516-595-8103, and we will be glad to let you chime in to our conversation as well as ask any questions or just give us some information. And so we're going to go ahead and begin, Ms. Carr and myself, and so I'm Ms. Worthit, and we have Ms. Chelsea Carr on the line as well. So, Chelsea, as I sat back and I began to think about all that is going on in society, I just began to ponder on how could we really bring people together to just express themselves. We know we have the media, we have all the news, but a lot of times they only allow people to give a portion of what they want to speak on, and then sometimes they change it up. So for me, I was thinking about a way that we can just have a conversation piece and talk on different topics. And so today I really want us to focus in on speaking the truth on how to embrace and empower one another, starting in our own community. We do a lot of talking about making things happen. We do a lot of talking about what we say other people are not doing, what the legal system is not doing, what the community advocates aren't doing, what this person isn't doing. But what are we doing in our own community? And I believe it starts right there. Wouldn't you say?
I would strongly agree. I mean, that's a great way to introduce. To make an introduction or segue to just your whole SPEAK, what SPEAK, the acronym of SPEAK is. A lot of times in our community, we're great about identifying what the challenge is, but what we're doing to embrace change and empower others in our community in various aspects, from voting to supporting other businesses. So I think it's a great segue, and it's a very good topic to introduce and get dialogue going.
Great, great. And, you know, we got a caller. And caller, if you're listening, I'm going to chime you in just a second. When I start thinking about speaking the truth on how to embrace and empower one another, starting in my community, I think about the things that I see that are going on, and I begin to try to transition myself on how to approach young people, how to approach young adults with the truth, because we know that the truth sometimes, well, not sometimes, all the time, it really hurts, and people get offended so easily. So one of the things that I like that we are doing as an organization is reaching out to the youth with our Mentor Connect program. And in that, I would like to say, connecting to these youth and being able to sit down and communicate with them and talk to them and see where they're coming from is the beginning part of the truth that we need to embrace in our own community. The truth about we have young people that are caught up in doing things that are not right, you know, whatever it is, hanging out too late, stealing, you know, drugs, drinking, sex. And, you know, we see them in the community, and a lot of times people are pointing the finger. For instance, the thing that's going on that seems to have plagued the earth and is going on for a long while. It hasn't stopped. You know, we was like, it's just a fad, it'll change. The boys with their pants sagging. And for me, instead of just looking at them, Chelsea, and saying, oh, that's a bad kid, you know, I know he into trouble, my focus is to embrace that young man and speak to his heart and speak to his mind, and not even concern myself with his pants at that time. Because I think once I develop a relationship with him and talk to him and see what where his mind at, he will begin to receive what I'm saying over a period of time in developing that relationship, and he'll make the decision to pull his own pants up. What you think about that?
I think that's a good point that you made. And a lot of times, the true essence is, like you said, making a connection with the child and actually speaking a truth that will help them to have a different mindset, to help them have different educational perspective, help them to have different insight. A lot of times our children are so influenced by what they see socially on TV, you know, just various avenues of media, that they don't really even think about being a trendsetter and stepping above what is the norm to doing something, you know, on their own. So it is our collective business, you know, to help empower our young children, our young minds, to let them know their value and their worth. You know, it's beyond what they wear. And, you know, we spend so many dollars in our community, and then we don't have a lot of businesses to show, you know, for them. We're spending someone else's on someone else's business. So,
exactly.
Yes, I think that's right.
How about we're going to take this caller and see if they can, you know, enlighten us with some more detail on this topic. Hello, caller. How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
Are you there?
I'm here. Can
great.
You hear me?
Thank you for joining us. Yes, we can hear you, sir. Can you tell us your name?
My name is Sean Williams. How you doing?
Hey, Mr. Williams. Thank you so much for chiming in with us today. We welcome you to this talk show, to our first talk show. You have Ms. Chelsea Carr with you, and, of course, Ms. Worthit is on the call. What do you have to say about that conversation piece we were having, Mr. Williams?
Well, first, I want to say I thank you guys for kind of bringing light to this subject. I just so happened to browse on the website and saw your show, and I just wanted to hop in and see what was going on. And I heard you guys' conversation, and I agree. I think too often that, you know, we try and reach young minds, and we are, our approach is totally off. You know, we're trying to get them to do a certain something, but we, you know, these young minds don't care who you are. You haven't built any kind of connection to even, you know, say something to them that they're going to receive. And so I think our efforts go in trying to address these people, our efforts go unnoticed by them, because they're not even receiving what we're saying, because it's like, you're talking to me. Who are you?
If we
try and, you know, have, you know, meet them somewhere where there's a common ground, we have a better chance to infuse some of our teachings into them, you know, as opposed to they not ever knowing who we are, we just so happen to see them and say, pull your pants up. You think they're really going to listen to us? No, but if they have some value in who we are and what our opinion is, they'll be more inclined to do so. So I totally agree with you, though.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And part of that, too, Sean.
Go ahead, Ms. Carr.
The things that came to mind is, like you said, in leading by example, I mean, establishing a relationship. And one of the things we want to do when we empower is to do it based on, you know, us being a foundation, you know, moving together, connecting together. So that's good. I appreciate your comments, and I wholeheartedly agree.
Yes, yes. You know, another aspect of that, Mr. Williams, which that is totally great, you know, that establishing that relationship so that they can know who we are. And another aspect that comes to mind with that is the fact that, you know, there's a lot of people out here that may be reaching out to young kids or and pointing a finger, but yet their motive isn't good. You know what I'm saying? And so kids, you know, we have to be careful, and we have to be able to embrace them so that they can receive us, but also our young people out there. And if you're listening, I want you to hear this. I know that, you know, they have to be aware of who they're around, who they're talking to, who they're taking advice from, because so many adults have failed them, you know, for us in the school system, you know, teachers dating younger people or being involved with youngsters, and then, you know, people molesting our young people. So yet you have our kids, they don't know who to trust. So we have, I want our young people to know, do just, you know, take your time and get to know who people are and make sure that you're telling your parents, those adults who you already trust. When you meet somebody, you know, yeah, I met this person, I met Mr. Williams, and he was just telling me they have an organization and, you know, just giving me some information, and here's the card. Make sure you convey that information to the people, the adults that you trust, because we know that it's scary out here. And so as adults who are caring and who want to help to bring about change in our young people and doing the right thing, we also make sure that we keep our focus that we need to not just embrace the child or the young person, the teenager, but also tell them, where are your parents? You know, I want to, you know, want to be able to communicate with you. I want to tell you more about what I have going on, but I also want to make sure that your parents or whoever your guardian is, that they know that I'm talking to you. You know, because I don't know. I have children. Ms. Carr have kids. Mr. Williams, you have children. We don't want no stranger walking up to our kids and we don't know anything about it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So let me ask you guys a question.
Yes.
I feel like, and this is just my personal opinion, I think there's two types of mindsets there. You have the child or the young person that is not, I don't want to say product of their environment, but it's learned behavior. And then you have the child that is trying to be cool and trying to fit
Correct.
In and be a part of the you know, the trend or whatever. And that child doesn't typically or necessarily mean that he has come from a rough patch or a bad spot. It's just he is trying to fit in. And I say that I'm going to, you know, put myself out there, but, you know, I'm dealing with that with my son. You know, he is, you know, one of those that, okay, I want people to receive me well. I want people to know that I'm cool, you know. So I find him doing things and saying things that, you know, you haven't come from that. You haven't been taught that, you know. So why is that okay for you? And so, you know, you wouldn't know that about a child if you just see the child or the young person and say, hey, fix yourself. When you don't know where that's coming from. So if we spend time with these kids to get to know who they are, we can understand how we're going to approach them if we want to impose some kind of influence on them.
Exactly. And it becomes a twofold thing. When you approach the kid and you then tell them you want to interact with the parent or you want to meet the parent, then guess what we're doing? Now we're empowering one another in our community by reaching our youth and by reaching the parent. Because we don't want to leave either out. We need to embrace both. So great, great, great point, Mr. Williams, because you're right. Learn behavior and trying to fit in, two totally different aspects of where that kid can be coming from. But regardless of where he's coming from or what he's come from, it is important that we
And that's a good point. And one of the things that came to mind when Mr. Williams was speaking was that our children are in so many different places. I mean, and we talked about how they're exposed to society and so many of the societal influences, but they're in multiple places. And so a lot of times with young men and women, they're trying to find themselves, they're trying to make discoveries about the world, and they're exposed to all of the things that go on. And in that organization, we're talking about injustices, and we're talking about, you know, empowering with knowledge and information. But these young people, you know, they're trying to find themselves in a world that is displaying a lot of mixed up characteristics. And if you're already, you know, in a place where you're not even keeled or you're trying to find your way and you're thrust into such a format, then that makes it even more challenging.
That's right. That's right. Well, Mr. Williams, we thank you for chiming in with us today. It has been a pleasure speaking with you. We're going to take a break right here. Want to thank you again, Mr. Williams. Want to just tell you guys. To the minds and the talent of our young people in today's society. And the name of the program was called No Shades of Gray. it was an awesome program. It did come from a biblical aspect, which is, you know, for me, a great thing, because that's what we need in today's society. In my life, I know that's what I need. And it was just really awesome. I had the opportunity to be honored as a young woman who worked with youth in the community and from my organization. And so I'm very grateful and just want to put it out there. No shades of gray. You did an awesome job. It was amazing. Young people, keep doing what you're doing. There was rappers. There were dancers, there were poets, there was even a special guest, Ja'Kalyn Carr, which you know, she put on an awesome performance. So I just want to put them out there, No Shades of Gray. In Jonesboro, they did a great job. And Ms. Carr, I'm not sure of the name besides the No Shades of Gray program. Was there another name that goes along with that, the organization, the church? I didn't have any of that information. I do apologize. Did you?
No, they just gave that name as the primary. I know it was associated with others, but one of the things she said, Ms. Phillips, Ms. Robin Phillips, said that it was the part of the effort was coming together, so they did not put one name in front of the other. It was just bringing community organizations and churches together to do a unified effort. So I think that was done deliberately.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And if I'm not mistaken, I think the youth program was called Generation X of some sort. I remember the shirts, Generation, and I want to say X. But anyway, we want to send a shout out to them. I thank them so much for just honoring me, and I give God all the glory for that. And want to thank the young ladies, Ashton Neal and Ambria Neal, for nominating me. So we just want to put that out there. If you ever hear about No Shades of Gray, please go check them out. It is awesome. Thank you. All right. Well, Ms. Carr, let's get back to it. And we hope that the listeners are out there. If you have anybody else that would like to chime in and communicate with us in regards to this topic, we will be glad to have you. We thank Mr. Williams for joining us. And so let's get to it with part two of this amazing topic, how to basically embrace our community. So, Ms. Carr, we have, you know, a lot going on with the violence out here. So we talked about embracing our youth and the parents, trying to develop relationships with them. I think if we can develop relationships, we don't have to conquer the world. We don't have to attempt to conquer the world at one setting. I believe that if we start in our own community, one family, one kid, one family at a time, we can see great success in that. Because what I'm leading to is some of us got to embrace these kids, and so that we can prevent these crimes that are happening in our society. And in the past 5 years, it has been rampant. Just seems like every day we're losing majorly young men of color. Yes. And so I think it's important for us to embrace these youth and try to give them another focus and how to respond in a positive manner. Now, when I say that, I'm definitely not saying that young men who have been killed, who have been murdered, who have been butchered, did something wrong. Because in the majority of them that I've been seeing, they have not done anything wrong to deserve to be killed, deserve to be shot down like mere dogs. But what I am saying is that we have to have our young men empower them and our young women so that we can all take this to another level, so that we can be not only heard, but we can be believed that we're not going to continue to tolerate this, that we need to be a people who embrace life, who embrace preserving life, whether you're law enforcement, whether you're a criminal, whether you're whoever, whether you're a person in your home and you think someone is getting ready to break in. Should our main focus always be to kill? I mean, when I understand if you are threatened, and we need to stop taking that word lightly, stop taking it as if everything is a threat to her, as if every person that is doing something wrong toward us is really trying to kill us. We have to start preserving life and think about even if this young person is doing something wrong, I want to stop them, but I want to give them an opportunity to bring about change in their life so that they won't go down that road again. What do you think, Ms. Carr?
And, you know, it starts in our communities. It starts with having this very raw dialect, a very real dialect in our communities. Like we were addressing early, all too often we talk about things and, oh, that's a shame, and then, we leave it there. But it's our individual responsibility to connect with each other to make a collective difference, you know, in formats such as this, in the formats where we're moving beyond just our words into actions, because daily we have our young males dying, you know, and it's senseless death, and it's something that we're going to have to put a stop to. But it's a twofold thing, because not only are we going to have a conversation and come forward with some meaningful actions, but we're also going to have to start valuing each other. And like you said, you know, what is a threat and why are we threatened? I know within the Justice from A to Z's organization, we had a campaign, you know, and we're talking about on the social media forums, why are you afraid of me? While we start, you know, mm-hmm. one of the things we started off, we've got to have a real truth conversation, because when you talk about disagreement, misunderstanding, and hate, those are wedges that lead to bigger things. And so when we start to break those walls down, then we can move towards actually being effective in all our efforts.
That's right, and you're right, breaking down walls. We have to start tearing down walls like at Jericho. These walls have to come down, because the campaign was an awesome campaign, I thought, because why are you afraid of me? Because I'm a black woman with dreads, because I'm a white woman with dreads, because they wear dreads and then they get looked upon a certain way too. Why are you afraid of me because I dress a certain way or because I have tattoos or whatever it is? And, you know, and even for our law enforcement, I felt threatened. Well, I feel threatened now. I feel threatened that every time I see one of the police officers, if they get behind me, I feel threatened that if he pull me over, he's going to try to kill me. So we have to tear down these walls and these barriers. And for all of the amazing, good law enforcement officers out there who do care about life, I believe it's time for them to stand up too and say enough is enough. I don't care if you're on my squad. I don't care if you're in my precinct. This is enough. But I believe that we, America, that we're so caught up in, you know, it's not my business. I got to get my money. I got to feed my kids. But, you know, it started, and yeah, I'm going to go there. It started in the very beginning of time with Cain and Abel. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Because you know what, Ms. Carr? It may not have happened to that particular person at that time, but you don't know when it's coming to your door. I had right. no idea it would show up in my neighborhood at my very address. I had yeah. no idea. Not that I was better than anyone or I was perfect or my kids were better or any of that, but because I've raised them and I know in their life, yes, we all make mistakes, but for the most part, they try to make the right choices. And the young man that they took from me, he was one of those young men who respect authority, was an authority figure. I mean,
yes.
He served in the war of Iraq. He was a military police in that war in Iraq. His father, 23-year veteran on the police force in New Orleans. I mean, even his friends talked about when the police come out, he would tell them, hush, you know, be quiet, shut up, sit down, just say yes, sir, yes, ma'am, always. Out of my three kids and all the million of kids, well, not millions, that's an exaggeration, but all the kids I have raised and they have lived with me, this young man was the main one who had the respect manner to yes, sir, yes, ma'am, whoever. I never had an inkling of a clue that it would show up at my house, but it did.
Yes.
But I'm so glad that this is the thing he stood against, and this is the thing that I stand against, and that my other kids stand against, and that my friends stand against. So it's not that we were oblivious to what was going on. We did stand for it. So we have to tear down these walls, and we have to join forces, and we have to come together as a people, as a society, and I'm talking about in our communities, those normal, everyday mom and dads like myself, your kids have not been murdered. They have not been arrested. They have not been tortured and attacked by police officers or in the streets by whoever. It's time for us to come together and say no more by reaching out to the young people, by telling those other officers who do the right thing to stand with us, by telling the public figures that we're not taking this. Everybody has to have a responsibility to do what is right. And if you don't do what's right and you're a law enforcement officer, you should be prosecuted just like the normal person who go out here and do something wrong and shoot somebody down, who tear people property, who do whatever's wrong. You should be charged and you should pay the penalty just like the rest of us.
Yeah, if no one should be exempt from the law, you know, the law is supposed to protect us. The law is supposed to set order and it's supposed to, you know, ensure that no one's rights are violated. One of the things that really grieves me about this whole, you know, just cloud of injustice that we seem to be under at this time is that it's sad that it seems with youth, you know, they all have been affected because they've lost, you know, friends to these type of incidents. And it's so senseless.
Right.
It's something that could be avoided. I mean, it's not like when we have Ebola or some type of disease that, you know, we're working to find a cure. This is something that's being done at the hands of someone else that is totally avoidable. It's something that we can stop. You know, it's something that once we really get a mindset that this enough is enough, we can bring this to an end. This is something that does not have to go on. Parents do not have to lose children. Friends do not have to lose, you know, other friends. It's something that can be stopped. But it starts, like you said, in our community and how we embrace the truth and how we talk about it. It's everybody's job. It's not just, you know, this didn't happen to me, so I'm not affected. Everyone is affected by this. Everyone, regardless of race or religion, everyone is affected.
Exactly. And I want to say to all of our listeners out there, you know, our Facebook friends, our Instagram, all of our social media friends, listen, you have to start reaching out. We cannot pass by each other and looking at somebody's attire and turning our nose up. We got to forget that mess. It doesn't matter what we wear, what we have on. What matters is our hearts and how we embrace each other and be there for one another. You know, I was looking today, Chelsea, at how I post from the event last night, and it was just an amazing thing because a year ago, I'm Every Woman magazine out of Fayetteville, North Carolina, your hometown, your home of residence. And shout out to Fayetteville. We have so many members there. We want to thank you all for just supporting the organization and being a part of Champions to lead this organization. But I Am Every Woman magazine, led by Miss Misty Jones out there in Fayetteville, honored me 1 year ago for being a philanthropist. And here it is a year later, you know, honored again for the organization out here in the community working with youth. And I was I'm so humble, but I was looking at something. It was amazing how I had so many likes on my appearance. You know, I put up the two pictures side by side, you know, of being honored last year and being honored this year. And I had so many likes on Instagram and Facebook. But however, I don't get those kind of responses when I post something of substantial significance about helping our youth. And so as we bring this our first episode to a close, I just want to encourage all of my social media followers, all of my organization people, all of my friends, and even those who may not follow but you chime in to see what we got going on, I want to encourage you to come and join us in embracing our community. Stop looking down on one another, and let's pick each other up so that we can stand empowered, enforced, with a sense of intelligence to stop our people from being senselessly murdered. Ms. Chelsea, any closing remarks?
I'm just excited about this platform, looking forward to hearing from the listeners. Looking forward to the bloggers. And I'm looking forward to us moving beyond just the words into actions and to associate yourself with organizations. If not our organization, Justice from A to Z, other organizations, or start an organization in the community can show a footprint that you have made a difference, you know, that your actions are making a difference, you know, because at the end of the day,
thank
when
you
we
for
leave.
Joining us. Chelsea.
Was that our time?
Yeah, that's why I threw that in.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us. All right, cool.
I was trying to set a time on it.
Yeah.
That'd be the longest 30 minutes. I'm like, we were trying to.
And see, I had an opportunity to watch it. So what I'm going to have to do is text you.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Well, and it put the, because if I set alarm in here, you know, the alarm will beep, you know, well, I don't know if it can, because